Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Corruption Crime and Compliance. Today, we're going to take a step back from sort of individual enforcement, settlements, compliance, and focus on a larger issue, and that is corruption itself. Not merely corruption as a legal violation, not corruption as an enforcement risk, but really what is corruption and the destructive force that affects economies, governments, institutions, and ultimately societies. Too often discussions about corruption focus on isolated events, a bribery scheme, a procurement scandal, a public official accepting kickbacks. But corruption is far more significant than individual misconduct. Corruption changes how societies function. It changes incentives. It changes behavior. And over time, it changes expectations. The World Bank estimates that corruption costs the global economy trillions of dollars each year. But the true cost is far greater than just a financial estimate or capturing some calculation of financial harm. Let's begin first with the economic consequences and how corruption fundamentally distorts markets. Markets operate efficiently when decisions are based on competition, merit, quality, innovation, and value. Corruption replaces these factors with influence, favoritism, and access. Government contracts are awarded not to the most qualified bidder, but to the best connected bidder. Infrastructure projects become vehicles for personal enrichment. Public funds intended for hospitals, schools, and transportation disappear into private accounts. The result is predictable. Costs increase. Quality declines, economic growth slows, investment decreases, and citizens receive fewer public services despite paying more. Foreign investors understand these risks. Many multinational companies simply avoid highly corrupt jurisdictions because the legal and operational risks are too great. That means less investment, fewer jobs, reduced economic development, and slower growth. Small businesses often suffer the most. Unlike large organizations, they lack political influence and resources. When licenses, permits, inspections, and regulatory approvals become opportunities for corruption, smaller businesses face barriers they cannot overcome. Entrepreneurship declines. Innovation suffers. Informal economies expand. The damage extends well beyond economics. Corruption, in the end, attacks democratic institutions. Democracy depends on public trust. Citizens must believe that laws apply equally, that elections matter, that courts are fair, that public officials act in the public interest versus their own private interest. Corruption undermines each of those assumptions. Over time, citizens will lose confidence in government institutions. They stop believing that the system works fairly. And once trust erodes, democratic institutions become increasingly fragile. One of the most dangerous consequences of corruption is regulatory capture. Regulators gradually begin serving the interests of regulated industries rather than the public. This may not involve outright bribery. It often occurs through influence, relationships, lobbying, and revolving door employment opportunities. The result is the same. Public institutions stop serving the public. Instead, they serve private interests. Perhaps the most dangerous form of corruption includes the judiciary. Courts represent society's final mechanism for accountability. When courts become corrupt, citizens lose their ability to enforce rights, resolve disputes fairly, and hold powerful actors accountable. Without an independent judiciary, the rule of law becomes little more than a slogan. The social consequences may be even more profound. Every society teaches its citizens what behaviors lead to success. In healthy societies, effort, talent, integrity, and innovation are rewarded. In corrupt societies, different lessons emerge. Connections matter more than competence. Loyalty to corrupt networks matters more than integrity. Access matters more than merit. Over time, these incentives reshape behavior. People adapt to the system they face and encounter on a day-to-day basis. Talented individuals leave. Ethical individuals become discouraged. The next generation learns that success depends less on ability and more on participation in corrupt networks. This contributes directly to inequality. Corruption concentrates opportunity and wealth among insiders while limiting opportunities for everyone else. It creates two systems, one for the connected, one for everyone else. Perhaps most troubling, corruption weakens civil society itself. Journalists, academics, advocacy organizations, independent watchdogs. These institutions play essential roles in exposing misconduct and promoting accountability. Corrupt systems often target them first. Why? Because accountability threatens corruption. Without independent voices, corruption becomes self-perpetuating. That is why anti-corruption compliance matters. When organizations conduct due diligence, implement internal controls, investigate allegations, train employees, and promote ethical cultures, they are doing more than reducing legal risk. They are reinforcing principles that support functioning markets, democratic institutions, and the rule of law. Corruption is adaptive. It evolves. It becomes more sophisticated. And now we face where technology is creating new opportunities for corruption. Political instability creates new vulnerabilities. Globalization creates new complexities. But the fundamental challenge remains unchanged. Corruption flourishes when accountability weakens. The response must be continued vigilance, strong institutions, effective compliance programs, and unwavering commitment to integrity. Because ultimately, anti-corruption efforts are not simply about avoiding enforcement actions. They are about preserving the conditions that make honest business, honest government, and free societies possible. Well, thanks for joining me today on Corruption, Crime, and Compliance, and we'll be in touch soon with another episode.